This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Tuesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn, 373, down 5. July corn, 380, down 4 and 3 quarters. September corn, 387 and 3 quarters, down 4 and a quarter. May soybeans, 975 and a quarter, down 2 and a quarter. July soybeans, 976 and 3 quarters, down 2 and 3 quarters. August soybeans, 973 and 3 quarters, down 2. May wheat, 5 and 3 quarters, up 2. July wheat, 5 and a quarter, up 2. September wheat, 509, up 2. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday's Grain Market Report. Illinois country grain prices ended mostly lower on Tuesday afternoon as bird flu strikes farms in the Midwest, meaning a drop in demand for corn and soybean meal. And in northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 3 cents at 351 to 370. Soybean bids 2 to 4 lower at 945 to 978. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 5 cents at 347 to 373. Soybean bids 2 to 3 lower at 956 to 975. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 5 cents at 361 to 376. Soybean bids 2 to 3 cents lower at 957 to 980. And the wheat bids steady to a penny lower at 410 to 465. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were steady to 2 cents lower at 990 to 997, with basis steady to 2 cents higher at 15 to 22 over the May. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 320.80 to 340.80 per ton, down $2.70, with basis steady ranging from 5 to 25 over the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids 2 to 5 lower at 373 to 387, with basis steady to 3 cents higher at option to 14 over the May. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 3 to 5 lower at 375 to 378, with basis steady to 2 cents stronger at 2 to 5 over the May. Soybeans ended steady to 2 cents higher on Tuesday at 976 to 984, with basis up 2 to 4 cents at 1 to 9 over the May. New crop wheat prices on Tuesday ended mixed at 480 to 482, with basis also mixed on Tuesday ranging from 20 under to 18 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 5 to 6 lower at 393 to 394. These same elevators place their soybean prices mixed with quotations at 999 to 1002. Soft wheat 2 cents higher at 501 to 508, and the Milo ended 5 cents lower at 438 to 439. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 356 up to 373. New crop soybean bids at 899 to 929. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 353 up to 370. New crop soybean bids at 919 to 936. And in the southern part of the state on Tuesday, new crop corn bids range from 355 to 371. New crop soybean bids at 907 to 932. And wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois, those range from 460 up to 488. That completes our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle, 156.30, up 95 cents. June live cattle, 146.72, up 85 cents. August live cattle, 145.45, up $1.22. April feeder cattle, 212.65, up 82 cents. May feeder cattle, 206.97, up $1.82. August feeder cattle, 208.62, up $2.15. May lean hogs, 71.60, up $1.32. June lean hogs, 77.60, up $2.07. July lean hogs, 79.32, up $2.37. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday, 21st afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded 60 cents lower in a range of $57 to $63 with a weighted average carcass price of $61.08. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows are trading mostly steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at 21 to 27. 4 to 5 weight at 26 to 30. 5 to 6 weight at 29 to 33. And over 600 pounds at 30 to 35. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gelts and country buying points are trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $35 to $42. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 398 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $68.61, which was 75 cents higher. Receipts for Illinois hogs have totaled $14,375. The Carthage Livestock Auction Grass Time Bred Cow Sale for the 20th had receipts of 471. Special Bred Cow saw a large crowd that came to view and bid on a nice set of replacement cattle. Trade was active with very good demand. Also selling but not reported were 9 bulls, 7 yearling bulls, ranged in the price of $1,900 to $2,800, averaging $2,114. 1 2-year-old bull sold for $3,500. Bred cows large second stage young at $1,750 to $3,000. Bred cows large second and third stage young at $2,700 to $2,750. Bred cows large second to third stage middle aged at $1,700 to $2,850. Bred cows large third stage young at $1,850 to $3,150. And bred cows large third stage middle aged at $1,800 to $2,400. And bred cows large third stage aged at $1,800. Cow-calf pairs medium and large middle aged at $1,550 to $2,550. Cow-calf pairs large middle aged at $2,500 to $3,200. Cow-calf pairs large young at $1,900 to $3,650. Cow-calf pairs middle aged at 19 and a quarter to $3,050. And cow-calf pairs aged at $1,950 to $2,100. In a direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on address basis traded at 250 to 253. Heifers on address basis traded at 253. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for select and beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were 259.82, which was 68 cents higher. Select carcasses at 249.55, which was 265 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 110,000 compared to 111,000 last week, 116,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 432,000 compared to 431,000 last week and 409,000 one year ago. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys, the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
That's all for part one of this morning's farm show. Stay tuned for part two for an in-depth analysis of this week's grain markets. That's coming up after this. For a look at this week's grain markets, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
It's really kind of a bearish mood in Chicago and among traders for the commodity complex at large as well as for the grains. We've had some difficulty sustaining rallies. We started off with soybeans pushing higher on some Chinese stimulus, raising hopes that perhaps that would stimulate some more demand for soybeans, as well as talk of a trucker strike in Brazil come Thursday. But we've had difficulty sustaining any type of upward momentum to this point and are taking back much of Monday's gains on Tuesday. Overall, traders simply want to be short or sold the commodity complex, with the equity markets finding more favor during this era of stimulus.
The strong dollar is also continuing to have major effects on the markets. Suderman goes over current money market news.
There's more and more talk about Greece perhaps being close to a default, which would open the door for it to leave the eurozone, pressuring the euro and providing support for the dollar. And so that's kind of casting a bearish cloud over the commodity sector at large, and something that the grains have to continue to battle, probably most prominently seen in poor wheat export sales, but also affecting corn as well. U.S. corn priced 55 to 60 cents above Brazilian corn and about 80 cents above Ukrainian corn.
With a high U.S. dollar in one hand and infrastructure problems leading to trucker strikes on the other, the question is whether other countries will turn to the U.S. or South American countries to fulfill their grain needs.
Right now, cheaper is winning out because Brazil has been able to deliver at a sufficient speed. Of course, China being the number one customer in the global market for soybeans, and they've had much of their needs for the year met with U.S. soybeans over the last 6 months. Now they're going to Brazil and Argentina for the remainder. So they have some good-sized supplies right now, but with prices being where they are, they're trying to add to those supplies. With the trucker strike going, some local sources say that the ports have 4 weeks of supplies. I don't think it's quite 4 weeks of supplies. But the bottom line is a trucker strike could probably go for 2 to 3 weeks without significantly impacting shipments. And China knows that, and so they're not too concerned, as the markets are not concerned, until or unless we see a prolonged trucker strike. One of the primary areas of watch in the trucker strike would be Mato Grosso in the far center west district. That's where farmers need to empty their bins of soybeans here over the next several weeks to make room for the Safrinha corn harvest. If they do not get the bins emptied, then they have a storage problem, and that could create some issues as well.
In the meantime, while weather conditions aren't making for a favorable planting season, the trade isn't concerned about large delays.
They're keeping a close eye on the planting progress that we're seeing, but they really don't see anything to change their sentiment at this time. Of course, we saw that corn planting progress on April 19th was at 9%. That was up from 2% the previous week, so we did make good progress. Not quite as much progress as we anticipated, though. The trade was looking for 10%. I was looking for 13% progress on the week, and 13% would match the five-year average for this time of year. I felt like we pretty well caught up when you look at those areas that were able to see some rapid planting progress over the past week, but that simply didn't happen. So we continue to be at a slow pace with cold temperatures, cooling soils, and slowing the pace this week across the Midwest as well. But traders still are not too concerned because they know how quickly farmers can plant the crop with the big equipment they have these days. And so they're really not concerned until we get to maybe middle of May and they continue to see big delays.
While farmers await the chance to start planting, the wheat crop is maturing. In some areas, drought is even accelerating the growth process.
The Midwest crop continues to be about a near average crop. I know there are some areas that have some problems or other areas where it looks pretty good. When you look at the hard red winter wheat crop in the plains, continues to struggle from the drought. We're seeing a lot of wheat at 8 to 10 to 12 inches tall trying to push ahead through. Because of the drought, now we've added rains to that, so it's too late to really significantly boost the wheat that's headed, but now we're seeing late tillers going to be coming on, so we'll have uneven maturity. And in fact, with the rains that fell in the Central Plains last week, the trade was looking for crop ratings in the plains to improve, but in fact, Kansas saw its ratings deteriorate even with the rains. So not seeing much improvement in the wheat. It would matter a lot more to the market if we were exporting wheat, but without the exports there, we need to export 50 to 60% of our wheat every year just to balance the balance sheet, and we're simply not doing that. And so as a result, what we're seeing is prices continue to have soft undertones to them.
Suderman also gave an update on this week's livestock markets.
Continue to see liquidation in the live cattle complex overall. We're seeing a little bit of a modest bounce to start off the trade on this Tuesday morning. But overall, that's more of a technical bounce than anything else. Futures prices are at a huge discount to the cash market, and so that does leave us vulnerable to a little bit more of a bounce, but still that doesn't change the sentiment there. That generally the trade feels that the seasonal high is in. We typically put in a seasonal high in early April, and we once again, it looks like we've done that again this year as well. Supplies of cattle, slaughter-ready cattle in particular, remained very tight. But the packers have been able to manage those supplies with heavier weights and with imports to meet demand for product, even though product continues to trade at historically high levels, helping to protect their margins. They haven't had to battle on the negotiated cattle market as much as what the feeders would like, and therefore have been able to pull prices in decline the past couple of weeks by slowing the chain speed. In fact, some packers at times going down to just 24 hours per week of operation, according to trade rumors. So this is a case where the packers have been winning the poker game over the last couple of weeks, and the feeders are paying the price, and futures traders overall want to be short. We've pulled the most contracts outside the lead April contract below, well below $150. Ironically, $150 has caught the bottoms on the cash market over much of the past year.
Another large news item that's affecting markets is the continued spread of the H5N2 avian influenza.
Absolutely. One of the factors also the traders are keeping an eye on is avian flu. We've now identified or confirmed avian flu the USDA has in a major poultry farm, a chicken farm in Iowa with 5 million chickens. When you look at all the chickens and turkeys that have been liquidated to this point, we're starting to have an effect on the feed grain market, particularly the soy meal demand. But also we're affecting more and more of the chickens. We're starting to affect export business at an increasing pace and push some of that poultry onto the meat market at cheaper prices. Ultimately, that's a concern first for pork, but then also for beef.
While turkey farms have comprised the vast majority of infected farms, a large chicken farm in Iowa is the most recent operation to come down with the flu.
Turkey farms have caught the brunt of the avian flu problems to this point, but now we're starting to see some chicken farms. I mentioned the Iowa farm that has about 5 million chickens on it. That's about 10% of Iowa's egg-laying chickens. Iowa, known for its egg business. So at this point, we've had to liquidate about 5.3 million hens, or the USDA has, and about 7.8 million turkeys and chickens combined since the month of March, when the outbreak really became a problem.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.